hearts always hunger for. Oh, our hearts always hunger for.
Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. I heard an interesting rumor that we should maybe, those of you who are on Facebook, maybe pass the rumor on. There's a group of people who are compiling a list of the names of the COVID police for some reason or other. And even some of the names of the Mounties that are pushing their luck or their force too much. And I believe even a business that enforces this COVID too strong. So if you're on Facebook, maybe you should pass this rumor on. I don't know how much credibility to it there is, but it's a rumor. Go for it. I wouldn't want to be caught at the other end one of these days when this is over. So hallelujah. What's happening in the world system? You hear more and more arrests of the pedophiles. Unbelievable amounts of children are being discovered, and they're being brought to the front, and even Fox News is now finally beginning to report it. So what's going on? Well, I believe we're in for some interesting times in the next few months. Hallelujah. So God is in control. The rapture is on its way. I've been teaching on the rapture for years. The rapture is a very, like, a place and a time where the joy comes up when you think about it. It could happen today. But, you know, I studied the Word of God, and there's a few things that have to be fulfilled yet if the prophecies of Jesus are true. There's preachers who say everything's been fulfilled, the rapture should be pretty soon. But Jesus had some prophecies that haven't been fulfilled yet, and you'll hear them in this message today. I used to think that it is going to get worse and worse and worse till finally God rescues us through the rapture. But David Wilkerson, who is a critic of the church throughout his ministry, before he died, or in 1986, had an interesting prophecy. God had shown him that the church is going to go out gloriously. Hallelujah. That means us. We're going to go out gloriously. We're going to be powerful. Will we be powerful? Well, when we look at the church today, I don't know if it's time for the rapture yet, because the church is not that powerful anyways, not on the surface. So these things are interesting. The Bible is very clear that we need to study it and discern the signs of the signs of the times. And God wants to show us the signs of the times. I used to say, Lord, I don't want to be an old wineskin where you can't put in new wine. And I enjoy the taste of new wine. Hallelujah. I don't want this wineskin to bust or to be unable to take it. I want to be pliable, Lord. The worst thing you can do is be set in your ways. You will never change the prophecies of the Bible, and you have to go according to the Word. But you have to be open for revelation. And God has given me revelations over the years that kind of shook my heart every now and then. And I want to try to bring them forth in the next whatever it takes, a little at a time, like the Bible says, little by little, precept by precept, line upon line, so that the people who are slow to digest stuff can have time to digest them. So today, before I get into this message, let's rise and ask the Lord for blessing. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your grace, and I ask you, Lord, that you will anoint this message. You will open people's hearts. Let the spirit of belief just enter and make people to see and understand, Lord. For you're the one that gives the increase. I thank you, Lord, for your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. You may be seated. God is a good word, a good God, and he will give the increase. And I, like I've said before, the rapture is good. It's going to be before the great tribulation. What we see now is an attempt by the enemy to bring in a one world government. It's an attempt by the enemy to bring in what his agenda is. And if I study correctly in the Word of God, it's not going to be man that's going to bring in a one world government. By the way, the radio station, they have warned me not to teach on this, and I told them, people, listen to me. There's a one world government, and it's non-negotiable. Homosexuality, the killing of babies, a one world government, whether you like it or not, it's non-negotiable. If you want to, take me off your stations, because this boy is not changing from the Word of God, and he will not hold back, because what they're trying to do, I'm long past that already, hallelujah. God has led me into a place where I don't have to fear nobody and nothing, because he is always with me. Hallelujah. Anyways, John chapter 14, there are a few things that have to take place before the rapture comes, and I'm going to show them to you, and you will be forced to agree with me, because it's as plain as daylight and always has been. I just never saw it until God showed it to me. So we're going to see what these things are. In John chapter 14, in verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, that's Jesus speaking, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. How many of you have seen the mighty works of Jesus, multiplying food, raising the dead, and one guy being dead for 4 days, and finally is brought back? Have you heard anybody reporting on that? I've heard of snitches here and snitches there, but most evangelicals shut that out as that's demonic, or it's a hoax, or they're just saying. So we'll wait for it to happen. Hallelujah. Has anybody walked on water? That is very, very interesting. I haven't heard of anybody walking on water. Has anybody turned water into wine? I've done it, but not the way Jesus did it. Hallelujah. So think about these things. There's more coming that Jesus prophesied, and we haven't seen it yet. Now listen how it's going to come to pass. John chapter 14 in verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you in all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. What do you think the Holy Spirit brought to the disciples' memories? The way Jesus operated, the way he multiplied food, the way he healed the sick, the way he drove out devils. I have experienced some of that stuff, but not to the amount that the Bible prophesies it will happen. It will shake the minds and hearts of people. We need to see that. Will it happen during the tribulation? Maybe little bits and pieces of it, but I think they will be running for the hills more than thinking about casting out devils during the tribulation. So it says here that the Holy Spirit will bring these to your remembrance. I know people have gotten healed. I've seen it myself. I have experienced it myself. And we had one lady giving her testimony how the Holy Spirit healed her. It was incredible. We had a woman from Uganda here, from Rwanda here, who gave her testimony. And I've read her books. Unbelievable miracles. But are they happening in the States? If somebody claims they do, guess what? They're looking at with sarcasm and ridicule. That's going to change. Why? Here's why. Because the Bible teaches us the Lord will pour out His Holy Spirit upon all flesh. Not half. The unbeliever and the believer, those who believe in the power of the Holy Ghost and those who don't believe in the power of the Holy Ghost, it will bring them to their remembrance what Jesus did here while He was here. John chapter 16 and verse 12, very interesting. Yet many things I say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Of course not. You cannot understand them. Why not? Because many of us are natural. We need that power of the Holy Ghost. It's called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And unless you have it, unless you experience it, it's not the same as getting born again. You will not understand. You cannot bear them now. How about when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you in all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He shall show you what things to come. That's prophecy. That's seeing things that are supposed to come in the future. How is that going to happen? God will pour out His Spirit, and I'm going to show you how He will. I was watching this preacher explaining this. And I was looking, listening to him. He was bringing forth the signs and wonders and miracles that Jesus did and explaining how we're supposed to do that. And you know how when they live stream, there's comments on the side. And I happened to look over. I never pay attention to them. Most of them are short one-liners and this and that. I happened to look over. And there's this guy, and I stopped that scrolling. It got my attention. It basically jumped in my face. And this guy said, the Bible is for salvation. The rest of it is just stories to read. If it's just stories to read, then your salvation is just a story to read about. We are living in an illusion. If those stories are there just to read, it's an instruction book on how to deal and how to operate. God is opening our hearts and our minds. And I was thinking, boy, this guy has it pretty well on in what a lot of the church thinks. Salvation, the Bible is just to find out about salvation. Signs, wonders, and miracles, and prophecies, and all these things, they're just nice storybooks to read. Years ago, if even at the beginning of my Christianity, if somebody would have told me that, I would have made him eat a little hamburger from here, because it's going against the Bible. So it says, you cannot understand it, but when He will come, He will guide you what I shall speak. It's going to be interesting if it's going to happen in the near future, how many people will look at the Bible and say, why did I not see that? It is because you did not look for it. I remember years ago, I was invited to a Moro Cirillo meeting. Anybody who knows who that is, a Jew guy. I didn't follow him much. I didn't hardly know who the guy was, but I figured I'll go along. And there was about 500 people there in an upper room somewhere in Winnipeg. And I was listening to his message, interesting message. But what got my attention is this. One of these days, and the time is soon coming, where you will not have to seek after the Holy Spirit. He will come to you and take you by surprise. And I figured, is that in the Bible? Yes, it is. Yes, it is. The Bible teaches us. In that day, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. Your young men shall have visions. Your old men shall be dream dreams. There shall be signs and wonders and miracles and incredible things happening. Have we seen that in the last 100 years? We're getting to the end. We're getting close to the latter rains. It's supposed to be poured out. We're ready for the rapture, but let me tell you, either which way, I'm excited. Hallelujah. Whatever comes first, I am excited. I'm on the winning team. I'm going to rejoice in it, and I'm going to experience it because it has been prophesied. Now listen to this one. In John chapter 16, verse 25, these things have I spoken to you in Proverbs, but the time comes when you shall not speak, when I no more will speak to you in Proverbs, but will show you plainly of the Father. No more guessing game, no more just an impression, no more maybe if or but. But God will show us plainly. He will guide us. He will lead us. He will personally speak to you. That reminds me of the prophecy that God gave me. It's the one about the banquets. The Holy Spirit. I heard Jesus himself talking to me in an audible voice. Here is what he said. When I talk to him about all the things that are going on with the election, and here is what he said. Esther brought the hammer down on Haman at the second banquet. Now, if I would know where the second banquet is, I could tell you where the first one is. Hallelujah, that would be fun. But I heard him say it. I heard him clearly. I wouldn't tell you this if I wouldn't have heard him. And I wasn't even thinking of Esther. Of course, I went out and I studied scripture. And sure enough, it was on the second banquet. And let me tell you, the first banquet was basically just a kick down the road. We'll have one tomorrow. Come back tomorrow. We'll talk about it. And then Haman, we all know the story, those of us, he was rejoicing and telling about all his good stuff that he was going to do. But on the second day, the next day, all of a sudden, his wife said, something's not quite right with your plan. If the God of Israel, of those people, is against you, you're finished. So we will see when the hammer will come down on Haman. Hallelujah. There's another prophecy that has to be fulfilled that Jesus brought forth. By this they will know that you're my disciples if you love one another. Do you see that in the churches yet? I don't see it. You go on YouTube. What's happening? If you'd give them a machine gun, they'd wipe each other out. There's another scripture that has to be fulfilled. I am going to make the Jews jealous of you. Who is he talking about? The church. Is the Jew jealous? No. People are trying to become Jews. They're doing all this Seder eating and these wearing those caps, pretending they're Jews. Do you see these people? Sometimes you talk to them, sometimes you hear of them. They're trying to become Jews. Instead of the Jews being jealous of us, many are jealous of the Jews. We got to go back to our roots. We got to call. I got this long list in the mail. Oh boy, people must be listening to my radio station. You got to call God Jehovah. You got to call Jesus Yahuwah. On and on and on. And I said, here, basket, here's this paper. You keep it. You got more room for it than I have. I call him Jesus, and I call him God. I call him a lot of things that are Bible, but usually it's God, the creator of the universe. Usually it's Jesus when I talk to him. And Jesus remembers that name. I haven't heard him say, "Now, Dave, you better call me Yahweh," or whatever they say. He just call me Jesus. I go by that name. So in Proverbs, forget about it. That's going out. That went out with the apostles. They say the Proverbs. Now, when the apostles are going to return, and the prophets and the church people, then he's going to speak to them openly. But here's how it works. James chapter 5 and verse 7. "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and has long patience for it, until he receives the early and the latter rains." How many of you understand what this means? It pertains to the way the Israelis did their crops. In the spring, they would plant and they would get the early rains. Nice little soaker. And then it would germinate. And then they had drought-like conditions. Sometimes the rain fell, but it was mostly drought-like condition. And just before the heads came, they had a soaker called the latter rains. Very interesting. Throughout history, in the beginning, we had the power of the Holy Spirit come down. The disciples were hit with the Holy Spirit. That's the early rains. Then throughout history, we had drought-like conditions. A power of God hit here, a power of God there. There were revival breakouts here and there throughout history. But now we're getting ready for the latter rains. And they're beginning to pour, hallelujah. For God is ready to receive the early and the latter rains. But be you patient, he says. That's my biggest problem. I'm not patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. So with the latter rains, we will also hear, see something. The latter rains mark the end of harvest. We will have the rains and then the harvest. And that's when it says the Lord is drawing nigh. Be patient. Establish your hearts. For God has a very interesting timing going on. I want to share something with you that God has shown me. And he's given me the scripture. I said, "Lord, throughout the last 50 to 100 years, we had preachers preaching the gospel. We had Billy Graham bring people to the Lord, and it was they accepted Jesus by the hundreds of thousands. If they all would have accepted Jesus in a way that is meaningful, we would not have what's going on today." Hallelujah. We wouldn't. And God showed me something very, very interesting. And it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 6. The Apostle Paul says, "I have planted, Apollos have watered, but what does God do? God gives the increase. God will pour out his Spirit on all flesh. We have planted, we have plowed, we have watered." So many thousands of preachers have preached the gospel throughout North America, throughout the world. They are gospel saturated. But wait, when God gives the increase, here and there, one comes to Jesus. A revelation hits him. "Yeah, why didn't you tell me before? Yeah, I only spoke till I was blue in the face. Don't you remember? You didn't get it." Then God gave the increase and opened these people's eyes and hearts, and boom, they see it. Wait, God is going to give the increase. He's going to pour out his Spirit on all flesh. So put that in your heart. I have planted, Apollos have watered, but God has given the increase. How long will that thing last? The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is why I believe the rapture is close. Very, very close. If it's because of Romans chapter 9, in verse 28, it tells us, for he will finish the work. He will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Let me tell you, that harvest is not going to take very long. I'm telling you, God has a surprise for us, and it's not going to be wearing masks. By the way, do you know what wearing masks represent? The world is wearing masks and they're prophesying something they don't even know about. It represents a stolen election. Remember when people would put on a mask and go in and rob a bank? That's exactly what they did. They stole the election, and God made sure everybody would know about it. Everybody's wearing masks. Hallelujah. How is that for a revelation? God wants us to have fun. God wants us to have fun while we watch this coming into progress, not being cast down. Oh, we're going to have persecution. Bring it on. I can handle persecution better than somebody giving me, lifting me up and saying what a good person I am. I was born in persecution. Hallelujah. I know exactly how to handle it. God has given me the grace to do it. I can leave house, wife, anybody, whoever, culture for Jesus. And I will not be able to give my life for him if it comes to that. What a joke. The Apostle Paul said, bring that X on. I'm out of here. Hallelujah. And it's going to be fun for the rest of eternity. So whatever comes, if you're in Christ Jesus, here is something. Either which way, death, the rapture, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, persecution, we got it made in Christ Jesus. I happen to know something very interesting. The harder the persecution, the more the power of the Holy Ghost. You ride on a cloud. I've been through it. I've experienced it. I know how good it feels when the power of the Holy Spirit is upon you through persecution. You simply enjoy the ride because you know you're in God's righteous protection. So we need to open our hearts. He will finish this work. He will cut it short. And let me tell you, here's what I like. He will use us to perform it. He will bring pour out his Spirit, and we will talk to people. That's what we've been doing for the last 40 years. We've been on radio. We've been on the internet. We've been talking to people. We led people to the Lord. We've been planting and plowing. We put our money where our mouth was. By the way, I love this thing that my accountant always tells me. How you manipulate your people to give money, I cannot understand. But they're the biggest givers that I know of. Do I manipulate you? No. But you have a vision. You have a dream. You are walking towards the goal that God has given you. And you put your mind, your heart, your soul, and your money behind it. Hallelujah. I haven't told him that yet. He may not understand it because he needs a little bit of the Holy Spirit. But God is faithful, and he will bless us. The best is yet to come, either which way. So open your heart to this and become a blessing to yourself. Get yourself out of that pit of depression. The mess are going to disappear. We're going to see some interesting stuff. Oh, up in heaven, once we walk about, we'll say to one another, do you remember the masks? I don't think we will, because the masks are going to be the farthest thing from our mind. And by the way, wear your masks. Tell everybody the election was stolen. Hallelujah.
As I travel through this pilgrim land, there is a friend who walks with me, leads me safely through the sinking sand. It is the Christ of Calvary. This would be my prayer, dear Lord, each day to help me do the best I can, for I need blessed way. Teach me that I may be wholly thine and sing redemption's song someday. I will be a soldier brave and true and ever firm. We take my stand as I onward go and daily meet the foe. Blessed Jesus, hold my hand.
Jesus, hold my hand.
I need
yes, I need thee every hour. Through this land, this pilgrim land,
protect
by thy power. Hear my plea, my feeble plea. Oh, Lord, dear.
Jesus, hold my hand.